I'm your host, Lou Carter, founder of Most Loved Workplace. The Leader Show brings together executives and leading thinkers to bring into focus our collective purpose and passion for what we do and where we do it. The search for occupational fulfillment, happiness, pride, and passion starts here. Today, we're joined by Matthew Love, president and CEO of Nicklaus Children's Health System. The system is the only healthcare network exclusively for children in the region and includes the top-ranked Nicklaus Children's Hospital in South Florida. Under his leadership, the health system stands out not just for its clinical excellence, but also for its workplace environment as a Most Loved Workplace certified, ranking number 41 on the 2023 America's Top 100 Most Loved Workplaces list. Matthew manages a comprehensive network that encompasses the 307-bed acute care Nicklaus Children's Hospital, various pediatric outpatient centers, and specialty offices across multiple counties. His role also extends to overseeing entities like Nicklaus Children's Pediatric Specialists and Ambulatory Surgery Center and the organization's fundraising arm, the Nicklaus Children's Hospital Foundation. Bringing over 25 years of experience in executive healthcare roles nationwide, Matthew holds a bachelor's degree in industrial and systems engineering from Ohio State University and an MBA from Cleveland State University. He's also a fellow of the American College of Healthcare Executives, and notably in 2002, he was honored as an ultimate CEO by South Florida Business Journal. Today, Matthew will share insights into maintaining a top-rated hospital and fostering a workplace culture that earns national recognition as a certified Most Loved Workplace. Matthew, it's great to have you on with us today, and welcome to the Leader Show. I can't wait to dig into all the people and fundamentals transformation that you have led at Nicklaus Children's. What a great show we're going to have today. We're going to really unpack all these elements that made you become a certified Most Loved Workplace. Welcome, Matthew, to the Leader Show.
Thank you, Lou. It's great to be here. Great to see you.
So this is great. Let's really dig in, you know, and learn more about this culture and transformation that you've been building in the past 3 years or so. How did it start? How did you realize you wanted to do this, right? And where did you want to go? Where did you want to go originally? Tell us more about how it happened.
Yeah. So I joined the organization about 5 or 6 years ago, you know, right before the pandemic, as everybody knows, that horrible event 5 or 6 years ago. So really, but part of that, you know, we were able to re-identify ourselves, right? And so one of the things that we focused on around was our people. So we had a great chance to really, you know, pause and then redefine and then define what we wanted to be when we got out of the pandemic, right? So that's one of the silver linings of that time, you know, several years ago. So defining who we are around our four pillars, focusing on the fundamentals, blocking and tackling, whatever you want to call it, right? And people call it different things. We had an opportunity to do that. And one of those was around focus on us. So we have four pillars, four chambers of our heart. We have this beautiful little kind of logo that encompasses our strategic plan, right? So focus on us, of course, operational excellence, amazing patient care, and building the future. And so we culturally and philosophically and in a disciplined way said, we had to focus on our people. Our people are our most important part of our organization. Whether it be our employees, our patients, our families, our physicians, whatever you want, we are in the people business.
You know, that's interesting. You said about the people business, focus on us. I mean, obviously, having children as your central focal point there, love really comes in as that important component. How do you foster this such an important, fundamentally, sort of intrinsically heart-centered environment? Because you just imagine having children is like wearing, you know, your heart outside of your body. I remember reading that and seeing that somewhere said, when you become a parent at first, you're literally feeling like you wear your heart outside of your body because you're just handing it to everybody and this care to everybody that is helping your child. How do you make that a central focus of what you do and your people so that it manifests in all interactions?
You know, taking care of kids, there's nothing better than that. And whether you're a parent or grandparent, you know, I happen to be blessed. I have two great kids and two great grandchildren as well. And so, you know, put it in that perspective around both from a personal perspective and then being able to do that every single day, right? So we see, you know, over 600,000 or 700,000 kids every single year. They are someone's child, right? Son, daughter, nephew, niece, whatever you want to say. And so when you think about it in that aspect, right, there is nothing more special, nothing more privileged than taking care of kids. And, you know, when we do that, you know, that those are the types of people that we want to hire, right? So I can say it as president and CEO, and I love it. There's nothing else I'd rather be doing. But that's true for the nurse. It's true for the OR tech. It's true for the lab tech. It's true for the person in dietary and environmental services. You know, everybody here just loves to take care of kids, and you see it. And you see it in the things we do, you see it in how we do it and how we put, you know, patients and families at the center of our attention.
You mentioned about, you know, how you hire the right people, right? And, you know, typically there's sort of the people who put compensation benefits first, right? And that's important. The success sharing incentive plan, of course. We found that only 2 out of 10 people actually see that as important as level in their workplace. Yet it's important to put that as a focal point because children, we're working with children. We have to really help all parts of our employees. And I really want to get into the success sharing incentive plan because performance metrics aligned to strategic plan is where that comes in, right, Matthew? Because it's a central point of who you hire and how they succeed there and what those metrics really are. So let's dive into what those metrics are.
Yeah. So, you know, I believe, you know, if you can't measure it, you can't improve it, right? That's a saying that we've heard for, you know, decades. And that's true here too. But it's also around what those metrics mean, right? So this is, you know, our organization, it's not about check the box, right? We did X, Y, or Z, and we achieved a turnover rate of, you know, 10%, less than 10%. Of course, that's important. But really, what does it mean to the organization, right? It means more committed employees, more complete family members, you know, all those things. So I think defining metrics is absolutely important. Right. I think I heard on the introduction, everyone knows, you know, I'm an engineer, right? Measurement is critical to kind of my DNA, but it's not around the measurement itself. It's around what does it get us, right? What's that outcome? What's that result? And so linking, you know, things in terms of how we measure it, like most healthcare organizations, we measure thousands of things, right? And we get caught up in that, just like any other organizations. But how do you narrow down to key things on the strategic plan that are important over the long run? And then how do you translate that to incentives and shared success and metrics that you share on a daily and a weekly and a monthly basis? Bringing all that together, that's really where the magic happens. So focusing on us and our people is a huge part of it. Everybody gets rewarded the same way. Everyone talks about it the same way. We're very transparent around all of those different types of metrics.
That's the thing. Being transparent, being open about what makes it all work, because there is financials in it. And people need to understand the financials as much as they do, perhaps the tremendous employee satisfaction, right? You can't have tremendous employee satisfaction without a financially healthy environment, right?
It all goes together, and you put in quality as well, right? We got to take care of kids. We can't hurt kids. We have to have the best quality, right? We have to have the best folks and respected and happy and engaged, but we also have to pay the bills. You know, I say many times, you know, two things I like to share when I talk with some folks, you know, really on the front line, right? My paycheck comes from the same place everybody else does, right? And so we're all in this together. There is no secrecy around those pieces. And the second is around transparency is I've always committed and promised that I will give people an answer. Right? It may not be the answer you want or you like, but we will have an answer. And so hiding behind secrecy and not being transparent, you know, people will fill in the gaps. And that is not good for organizational culture, and it's not good for, you know, for people.
That really important distinction that you said is that employees often say, well, it's the CEO's fault, or they blame it on CEO, not realizing that, well, in fact, we're actually working for the same people. We're on the same team. I just have a different role, right? And you're promising part of your work, transparency, being open, giving answers, which is openness and transparency is what it's all about. At least you can be honest and truthful, because truth heals all at the end of the day to get you to that high employee metrics where organization wins and we all win.
I agree. I think transparency around it and also consistency in message, right? So when we have 4,600 people that work at this great organization and everyone is passionate and engaged about kids, but communicating to that number of folks in a consistent manner, in a transparent way, that's really what we have to execute on every single day. Right. And so we have to have different forums to do that all the way, you know, from individual. One of the best things I'd love to do is these things called chat with Matts, where they're individualized discussions where I go to the folks in the departments on the front line. There's no script. There's no agenda. You know, there's no minute take, none of that stuff. It is really around hearing and listening to folks, answering questions. And as you said, being transparent, right? You have to be able to answer the tough questions in a way that is consistent and transparent day in and day out.
That's outstanding. I want to talk about Chat with Matt and things that you do as a CEO to really help people succeed in the environment. So it sounds like Chat with Matt's a big part of that, because this whole concept of management by walking around, people think it's an old concept, but it's the most important concept possible for a CEO, right? So tell me, what are Chat with Matt's like for you? How have you seen it helping others? And it's been fulfilling for everybody.
Chat with Matt, it can be a little intimate. So I go to, you know, different places every single month, several times a month, and I try to do different areas. We have 30 different outpatient locations, and then we also have the main campus here near Coral Gables. And so I got to be able to talk to everybody. Our ambulatory network is robust. And so connecting with those folks is just as important as connecting with the nurses that are in the ICU behind me. And so these Chat with Matts, right, they're small. They're in a conference room, or we're sitting around small areas. People come and go as they please, right? So attendance is not required, but people show up. And, you know, it's an hour, can go an hour and a half, and they come and go. And it's free form. So it does make some people a little nervous because it's not scripted, but that's intentional, right? So it is around me listening to folks, understanding what's happening in their day-to-day operations, right? Their barriers, what makes their lives or their jobs difficult, but also what's good, because there's so much great that's happening. And so I'd love to be able to do it. So I watch people's faces and, you know, they want to talk, right? They want me to listen, and I love it. What folks don't know, which is kind of a little secret, is, you know, I get so much enjoyment out of it, right? Because I'm not able to do that, you know, enough in my role, but it really fills my cup as president and CEO to be able to go out and talk with folks and hear what's happening.
Matthew, have you found any consistent messages that come up during your chat with Matt's that help people to sort of see the future and align with your values, align with the values of Nicholas, where it helps to kind of align them with kind of your commitment to employees, right? And their emotional, physical, social environment well-being? Like, are there messages you give or ways that you help them in this kind of a holistic commitment you have to them in those chat with Matt's or in general?
Yeah. Yeah. So the chat with Matt's, you know, they've evolved over time. But one of the things that has been absolutely consistent is that we cannot communicate enough. You know, we're a large organization, lots of folks in different layers in the organization, and we have to be able to make sure that communication is disciplined and it happens routinely. Right. We all get busy. Right. I get busy. The chief nursing officer gets busy. The frontline manager gets busy. The person in the lab gets busy, et cetera. And we get caught up in that. And so we have to make sure that we're intentional around communication. Mm-hmm. So one of the key themes is, you know, you can't communicate enough. So even though I get up in front of different forums all the time and I say the same thing over and over and over in a consistent way, someone somewhere in the organization hasn't heard it. And so me being able to do that, I use an example. I was at our Hialeah office a little bit ago, and it's kind of this little urgent care that can. They see so many patients in a very small, confined area. It's probably the most volume per square foot that we see in our organization. And you know what? Alex, the nurse supervisor, loves it. He, you know, the engagement, I watch him on his face when I was with the chat with Matt and talking with him. And he's just as passionate as I am about taking care of kids. And that translates through the organization.
So someone like Alex, for instance, are you identifying high potentials as you're speaking with them, people who could potentially take on other positions in the organization? Or are there other ways that you can help an Alex, right, or work with an Alex to be kind of a conduit to more information that helps you deepen that kind of a overall awareness inside the company? It'd be valuable to get Alex's, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, there's probably hundreds of people like Alex, but, you know, finding folks like that in the organization, giving them exposure, talking with them, you know, sharing that there's possibilities, you know, for growth and advancement is absolutely important. I also know that that's not for everybody, right? Not everybody wants that next role. And that's fine, because everyone has a role in our organization. But finding that talent and promoting it, it's much easier to promote from within and grow from within than go externally. That is, again, one of the things that we keep trying to do, because, you know, the culture here and being able to make sure, you know, we get the right people in our organization, because it's not just a warm body, but it's folks that are passionate and want to take care of kids. That's really the secret sauce in our organization.
Well, let's go in order, the right people, then how to succeed, right? So let's do that. So if I am applying, right, to Nicholas, how do I know I'm in the right place, number one, right? How do I get hired? How do you know I'm the right person to come to Nicholas and I'm the right person to be with you? Let's start there, the get hired part, right? Tell us more about that, the right people. What is that like for you, that process? Who do you want working for Nicholas?
You know, hiring the right people and getting them here, that's a monumental task, right? When you get it right, you get it right. When you get it wrong, you get it wrong. And so, you know, part of this is around finding folks earlier in the process, right? And so we talk about pipeline, and we talk about particularly around nurses, right? Around the nurse scholarship program, how do we identify the nurse interns? You know, those folks that are already showing a passion for taking care of kids. And I find once folks walk through the door, whether it be a summer intern, a nurse intern, our administrative fellow, whoever it is, right? People fall in love with it. Right. Yeah. And then it's both the physical environment when you walk into a children's hospital, but it's also the people and the feel for it. You know, at the end of the day, we're a Nicholas Children's family. Right? And that's what we talk about a lot. Right. We're family. And so it's more than just a work relationship. And so finding those folks early and then keeping them. And then, of course, you know, you got to want to be here. If you don't want to be in this organization, then don't be here. Right. The folks here will work hard and will make things happen. And then we will find the resources and the right people that want to be here, because that's where it works. Right? It's like marriage, right? You have to be in it together. And for us, that's where we're at.
And it sounds like it's very much something you know, right? It's like when you like marriage, that's the right person. And the question is, how do you replicate it, right? For so many people, that magic sauce of the right person who really loves being in family, loves making sure that they stay in family and in relationship throughout their work with you.
Yeah, again, finding that right one and also leaning on, you know, the management team. Whether it be a manager, director, supervisor, right? They're the ones that are with folks every single day. And so, you know, them finding the talent and then also pulling it out, right? Because I genuinely believe people are good. And so how do you pull that out and help that be part of what they do every day? That is leadership. And it doesn't start and end with the CEO. It starts in the entire organization.
You know, that's the question too, is that when you're for culture itself, you can't be everywhere, right? There can't chat with Matt's can't be everywhere. Leaders can't be everywhere all at once. Yet your culture really does show that it's pervasive everywhere, right? You walk in anywhere, you go any part of your hospital, you'll get the same feel as a patient as you would coming to you, this special sauce. So, you know, a lot of people want to know this. How did you do it? How does this happen? You know, because it's really true. It people don't understand it. Like, wow, I can go to any location in Nicholas system and I'll feel the same way, get the same treatment, which is high Ritz-Carlton treatment. So tell us how that happens. Like, is it planned? Is it just the feel? Tell us, yeah, more.
It takes time, right? Some of the stuff doesn't happen overnight. And it's a mixture in my mind of making sure we hire the right people, but also providing the right resources and the right environment and listening. You know, when we get it right, we really get it right. And that happens 99.9% of the time, right? Like you said, regardless of what location we go in, it's really consistent. And so, you know, it does take time. And, you know, I talk a little bit around, you know, when I talk about operations, you know, it's this dull nagging pressure, right? It's important, right? It's every day. It's doing the same thing consistently. We talk a lot about operating discipline. And so, you know, how do we implement that? So it is the same, right? I don't like to use the word standardization or things like that, playbooks, because in my mind, that doesn't convey the right message, right? This is around how is it consistent? And if you're hitting on all cylinders every day, how do you replicate it? And so you look around the organization and say, wow, this center, right, up in Hialeah is doing it right and doing it fabulous. How do you take that? And on this another center that's not quite where it needs to be is how do you pair them together? And so that is part of the culture, right? And in failure, you know, failing fast is okay in certain cases. Well, take out the clinical care side, of course. But, you know, how do we do this experimentation? How do we be innovative and then replicate it as fast as possible and then do it consistently?
Matthew, that is such an excellent methodology. My friend, David Stern, and he passed, but he was the director of the Save the Children Foundation. And he used that same method. He called it, he was a father of this method, positive deviance. So taking really amazing environments that took care of children really well, and it was in Asia Pacific regions, Myanmar, and helping them teach others who weren't quite as good at taking care of children, specifically with regard to malnutrition. And it was amazing, the results. Improved nutrition rates in Myanmar tenfold. It was amazing. By exposing people to those who really love and care deeply within those environments, it's kind of like either through osmosis or through learned experience, they say, well, I want to be like that. I don't want to live a life where I'm not in deep care to children, right? So there's somewhat of a viral element to it, it sounds like. In a positive viral element, positive deviant element.
People say, they want to join a winning team, right? And so when you start winning, however you define that, right, it is contagious. People just, they grasp onto it, and then it feeds itself. And then, to me, that's when the magic starts to happen, right? When things just take a life of their own in a positive way, and, I don't have to go do a chat with Matt. I will, of course, because I love him. But it's not required. And it's part of the genesis, and kind of get that ball rolling and let it go.
I always say celebrate often. Yeah. Win and celebrate often. So people really know these are the ways that you succeed. People want to succeed. They don't want to continuously fail, because it's good to learn and fail fast. And at the same time, if you fail fast too much at the same thing, now you're a failure. We can't do that. We must learn, fail fast, and then become successful at that specific behavior or skill. And it sounds like that's a constant in your teachings as a leader.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love your thing about celebration. As a children's hospital, we celebrate everything. As much as it's about, the event, it's also around bringing people together. Some folks know, we have a September to Remember thing that we do every single year. It has become viral. In our organization, people look forward to it. It's a month-long celebration, and it's a small stuff. But it's, when I watch it, Lou, it's around, watching the people interact, right? It's having donuts, one day of the month just together, right? It's not about the donuts, right? It's about when folks come together and they're sharing and talking around things that are important.
September to Remember. And that's it. And you're starting anew, like you do an academic year, right? You're coming together. You're doing the thing you're doing, chat with Matt, is listening. You're around each other, right? Whether it's donuts or not, it's essential. And those moments they're seeing that are positive deviant, so others can see them too and do them, right? And know how to succeed. That's essential. Your holistic commitment to employees, this stood out to me. What you do in your Healthy Lifestyles program, and the framework to support employees through their life journey. So you really do keep them as a family member, really helping with their life journeys, things like emotional, physical, social, financial well-being. It's amazing. Tell us more about that, how you support that, and how employees respond to it as well.
As you look at, our organization, people have lives, right? People are the most important thing in our organization. And so realizing that they're not just professionals, right? There's more to folks. And so, of course, folks, need to come in and work hard and be passionate. But everybody has a life, too, right? As I said earlier, I'm a dad, I'm a grandfather, I'm a husband, right? That's super important. And if we fail to recognize that through different avenues, we fail. And so the healthy lifestyles, of course, there's the piece around benefits and access to certain things and wellness. And we do all of those things. But it has to be in the context of the whole human, right? Along those lines, I am my best self when I exercise and I eat right and I have my downtime, right? That's important. That's true for everybody, right? That's not just true for me. And so recognizing that, I think, is hugely important. But then also pushing the envelope, right? We are a staple organization in this community, right? We're an anchor organization in Miami. And so, we value that. And so part of that is, You're a whole human, right? You have a personal life, you have a work life, but we also 1,000% committed to the communities that we serve. And so bringing all that together, I think, is really what you're referring to when you talk about this lifestyle, this healthy lifestyle component.
Outstanding. And bringing that together, connecting it to community as well is so important, because it's about community. People look to you for community and to be part and extension of the life. That those moments that you have with your children are so precious. And the feedback I've gotten are just absolutely incredible from people who have worked and who have been in your environments, especially parents. It's pervasive everywhere. So you've done a fantastic job of that. Matthew Love, CEO of Nicklaus Children's Health System. What a great thing to have you here on with us today and your movement to becoming a certified Most Loved Workplace and top Most Loved Workplace has just been incredible. Being there for 5 years only and achieving this is incredible. And during such a challenging time with COVID and just doing a fantastic job. Matthew, thanks for being here with me today on our Most Loved Leader Show.
Thank you, Lou. It was my pleasure.